Isaiah chapter number 53, verse number 12. Isaiah 53, verse number 12. We'll go ahead and read the entirety of the chapter one last time. What a great chapter it is, amen. So Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And that's God's word through the prophet Isaiah, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, kindness, love, and mercy toward us. We're grateful that we have an opportunity to come again tonight. Thank you for this morning, your word there in Romans. Again tonight, we'll deal with Christ and the cross. I pray, God, that you would bless it and empower it. God, that you would use it for your glory, for our good. You would strengthen us and encourage us and challenge us with your word tonight, that we may be a people that rejoice in Christ, in Christ alone. May we be mindful, more mindful of what we have in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And more mindful of the love of God that was shed toward us in the giving of your Son. You are a great God, worthy of all of our praise. And I pray that we would do that tonight. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Well, I think we conclude our study through this great chapter in the Old Testament tonight. It is a chapter that prophesies of what will ultimately be fulfilled 700 years after the prophecy. It is the plan of God's redemption. It is the plan of God's salvation. And it is the hope for all mankind. And it is the only hope for all mankind. There is no hope in economic success. There is no hope in political parties. There is only hope in Christ. We have seen so far in this chapter the rejection of this promised Messiah. There is nothing in Him that would cause us to desire Him. Then we saw the substitution of this promised Messiah as He substitutes in place of His people, the sacrifice of this promised Messiah, the suffering and the death of this promised Messiah. And then we were shown the theology behind His death. And finally, last week, we looked at the intentionality of His death. And tonight, we come to the ultimate, final, and eternal triumph of this Messiah. There is coming a day when all foes will be vanquished and Jesus Christ will rule and reign victorious over all things and all people. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And while He sits on the right hand of the Father tonight, there is coming a day when the culmination of His exaltation will be visible to all men. There will be no doubt of who reigns and rules over this universe. So let's dive in here and see what the Lord has for us in these verses tonight. Let me reread verse number 12 again. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So let me give you three things tonight as we walk down through this text. Number one, the delight in the Messiah. The delight in the Messiah. The obedience of Christ as the God-man, the obedience to the law of God, which was perfect obedience, and His obedience even to the cross where He died, will all be rewarded. Say amen. Christ will be rewarded for His obedience to the Father. And we need to remember that after suffering comes satisfaction, after sorrow comes salvation, after death comes deliverance, after the gore comes the glory, after the pain comes the pleasure, after the thorns comes the throne, and after the cross comes the crown. And after His humiliation, there will be His exaltation. So here we have an image. Therefore I will divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. It is an image of a returning and conquering hero who has went out to war and who has won the victory, and now he receives the spoil of his victory. And I know it looks like Christ wasn't victorious. I know it looks like Satan is winning the battle, but he's not. When Jesus Christ came and did what Jesus Christ did, He was a victorious conqueror. And God says, I will divide Him a portion with the great. I will reward this conquering hero. I will give to him the spoil of his victory. Question is, what does Christ get as his reward? What will Christ receive for his obedience to the law and obedience to the Father, to the cross, what will he receive? I think the answer is everything. Jesus Christ receives everything. Everything is Christ. He rules and he reigns over everything. And all praise and all glory for all eternity will go to him. And let me say this. There's no grace here. Not with Christ. Everything that Christ receives as his reward, he has merited. He has purchased and he has earned. Grace goes to those who haven't earned it, who can't earn it, who can't merit it. Grace doesn't go to Christ. He earned it. He merited it. He purchased it on the cross. And he is exalted because he deserves to be exalted. If there is anyone who has ever deserved exaltation, it is Christ. And Christ has been and is and forever will be the delight of his Father. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And Christ never did anything that would bring displeasure to the Father. And he will reign forever in the glories of a new heaven and a new earth. And everything is his. And for all eternity, he will be Lord of lords and King of kings, and he will receive eternal worship and praise, and the Father will for all eternity continue to delight in his Son. It is the Messiah who is the delight of his Father, who is the victorious conqueror who receives the spoil for his triumph. You may see him on the cross. You may see him beaten and badly bloody. But that's not the end of the story. The cross is not the end of the story. There is the ascension and there will be the second coming of Jesus Christ in power and in triumph. Number two, the dividing of the Messiah. God says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And then watch what he says here. And he shall, Christ shall, divide the spoil, what he gets from God. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. So the Father delights in his Son and rewards him by giving him what? Everything. And then the Son divides the spoil, which is everything, with the strong. We have to ask, well, who are these strong ones that he is going to divide his spoil with? And I think the strong here are those who are weak that he has made strong. It is his people. It is those who have trusted in him. It is those whom have put their faith in Christ, who have been saved, regenerated, born again. Those are the strong. They are weak, but he has made them strong. I think it's you and me. Therefore, everything that Christ possesses, and what does he possess? Everything. Everything that Christ possesses, and what does he possess? Everything. So everything that Christ possesses, and he possesses everything, his people will possess too. Somebody help me. The rewards that Christ enjoys for his victory, for his triumph, we as his people will enjoy them too. Everything that Christ possesses will be ours to share as well. Now, that doesn't mean we earned it. Doesn't mean we deserved it. Doesn't mean that we were triumphant in ourselves, but us being in Christ, if Christ is triumphant, we are triumphant. If Christ is victorious over the over death. We are victorious over death. If Christ is victorious over the grave, we will be victorious over the grave. If Christ is victorious over hell, we will be victorious over hell. If Christ is triumphant and receives the spoil by virtue of us being in Him, we are triumphant and also share in the spoil. When Christ triumphs, we triumph. When Christ reigns, we will reign with Him. Everything that is His will be ours as well. And He's never reluctant about that. Because Isaiah says He takes everything that has been given to Him in His victory and He divides it with His people. That what is His is ours as well. Is that not amazing? You know, when we get to heaven, the first thing we will realize is we don't deserve to be there. And when we get to heaven and see all that is there for us, we will know that we haven't done anything to deserve that either. But yet we will enjoy the very spoil of victory because we are in Christ Jesus and He is our victor. You with me? Everything that is His will be ours. Why? Because we march in His train. We are His bride. And what is mine is Denise's. And what is Denise's is mine. And as His chosen bride, everything that is Christ is also His bride's. Amen. He shares the spoil of His work. He shares the spoil of His labor. He shares the spoil of His merits. It is His work. It is His labor. It is His merits. And the spoil or the reward of that He shares with us. He doesn't share with us the work or the labor or the merits, but He shares the rewards of His work, His labor, His merits with us. He shares them with those for whom He came and did it all for. And for all eternity, as ages roll, as time ceases to be, we will enjoy what Jesus Christ has won for us on the cross. Everything will be His. And by virtue of us being in Christ, everything will also be ours. It is no wonder there is so little in the Bible about heaven. How could we want to stay here if God told us any more? Amen? It is the dividing of the spoil, or the dividing of the Messiah, of the spoil, with His people. We will not be bystanders and spectators in heaven watching Jesus Christ enjoy the spoil of His victory. We will participate in celebrating and triumphing with our Savior. You wonder what you're going to be doing in heaven? You're going to be enjoying the spoil. You're going to be enjoying the victory. You're going to be enjoying the triumph of Jesus Christ. Number three. The deliverance of the Messiah. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And here comes the why. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. One final time, Isaiah reminds us how Christ won the victory. He tells us how we can share in the spoil. He tells us how we can share in the triumph of Christ. He tells us what Christ did to win His reward so that He could divide it with us. What does Isaiah say? Isaiah says that Jesus Christ came and He identified Himself with sinners. He was numbered with the what? Transgressors. The word transgressors here means rebels or offenders. He came to identify with rebels and offenders. He was not numbered simply with men, with humanity. He was not numbered with the faithful who seek to do right. He was not numbered among those who would try their best to resist temptation and to resist sin. He was not numbered with those who would earn themselves a good reputation in this life. No, he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the rebels or the offenders of God. He identified with sinful man, although he knew no sin. It is why he said, I did not come for the well. I did not come for those who aren't sick. I came for the sick. I came for those who know that they're sinners. I came to identify with transgressors, with sinners. Amen? And until we know our sin, we can't know Christ. Jesus put himself on as near of a level with you and I as he possibly could. Now, he cannot be as sinful as we are because he is God and he is perfect. And he was God and he was perfect man. But he puts his name down on the list that when the roll is called, his name is shouted over ours. He comes near to us in our ruined state. And if we were to go back in historical annals and historical records and we would look up all of those transgressors, all of those rebels, all of those offenders who have been crucified down through history, and we called out their names and looked in this book of transgressors, we would find that name, Jesus of Nazareth. Although he never sinned, there is his name in the list of sinners. And he did that so that our names that should be in the book of the list of transgressors may be written in the book. So this transfer that is made between Christ and his people is that all that we have, our sin and everything, goes to Christ, and all that Christ has comes to us. His righteousness, his blood, and everything that he has belongs to us. It is our name that should be in the list of transgressors. Jesus' name doesn't belong, but he put his name in the list of transgressors, and he put our name in the book of life. My goodness. He came to identify with sinners. Secondly, he came to be indicted for sinners. He identifies with transgressors, and then he bears the sin of transgressors. In other words, Jesus took our debts. Say amen. I think he took our debts in the Garden of Gethsemane when he drank the bitter cup of all of our sin. And put upon him was the debt of all of us. A debt that you and I could not pay. And when you multiply it by all of his people, what a debt that really was. But it didn't take him long to fully pay for the debt. Say amen. He took the debt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the cross of Calvary, he pays it in full. Yes? So, where then are our debts? there are no debts. Somebody help me. Because they have been paid in full. If Christ has paid the debt, then there is no debt left. And there are plenty of religious people that will tell you that Christ paid part of the debt and there's part that you still need to pay. No, if Christ took the debt, paid the debt, there's no debt left. He bore the sins of man and He bore them away forever. And who are these whom He paid the debt for? All of those who will trust in Him. Every sinner who will trust in Christ. Every sinner worldwide who will trust in Christ may know that no sin can be with Him because sin was laid upon Christ. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He did not bear the virtues of many. He did not bear the merits of many. He did not bear the good works of many. Isaiah says, He bore the sins of many. So firstly, He identified with sinners. Secondly, He is indicted for sinners, taking upon them their sin, their debt, and paying the debt on the cross. And then finally, as we talked about this morning, He intercedes for sinners. He mediates for His people who are by nature, what? Transgressors. Let me read that again for you because that's good. He is numbered with the transgressors and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for whom? The transgressors. You don't need a mediator. You don't need an intercessory person if you don't sin anymore. Say amen. But you do. And we are by nature's transgressors. And He intercedes for those whom He was numbered with and whom His sins He bore. He suffered for us. He was punished for us. Why? So that He can sit on the right hand of the Father and appear for us. He is our advocate. Say amen. He appears with God the judge for us. And He pleads our case. As we have been talking about, if any charges were brought against us, Christ, who sits right next to the Father, all He has to do is say, paid for. Look at the wounds. Paid for. Say amen. And He sits there and He pleads our case and He appears for us as our mediator and as our advocate, not because we deserve it, but because we need it. Not because we're no longer transgressors, but because we are transgressors. Are you listening? The very thing that makes us think Christ will not look at us, our sin, is the very reason that He will. Listen, your qualification is your disqualification. Somebody help me. It is not in your strength. It is in your weakness. It is not in your merits. It is in your lack of merits. It is in your disqualification that you're qualified. The fact that we are transgressors, and Jesus came to save transgressors. He came and died for transgressors. He came and took the sin of transgressors because we are transgressors. That's the only reason why Jesus should look at us and intercede for us. He intercedes for transgressors. And I'm the chief. Guy told me at Verizon I was the chief. I'm the chief sinner. Say amen. And you say, well, that's terrible. No, that's good. My disqualification for heaven makes me qualified for heaven because of Christ. Say amen. Oh, if we would quit trying to look better and be this, and just be weak, helpless, dependent sinners on the mercy and grace of Christ, we would be much better off. If we would quit trying to be qualified and just receive and embrace our disqualification, it'd be better. Say amen. Because we are nothing. We are nothing. We have no merits. We are nothing unless the Lord Jesus Christ makes Himself like us, makes us acceptable by taking our sins, and then continues to intercede for us. You know the least preached on work of Christ is His intercession. You know why? Because we think we can make a decision and be saved and then it's up to us. No, it's always the work of Christ. You'll only get there by the work of Christ. It is Christ who saved us, and it is Christ who keeps us saved. And we cannot ever make too much of the awfulness of sin, and we cannot ever make too little of the greatness of God. Somebody help me. The reason I think I'm done. The reason that I think, I've been thinking about this lately, you know, I was talking to Denise the other day, we were talking about Scripture, and our seemingly need to make Scripture about ourselves. And if we didn't have any biblical voice on the matter, maybe we could debate it, but there's no debate because Christ said all of Scripture is about me. Somebody help me. And I think that the reason that all of Scripture points to Christ, and the reason that we are not to find our heroes in biblical characters, is that there can be and there only is one hero. And that hero is Jesus Christ. We're almost like Peter, right? Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration said, let's build three temples. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. No, 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 no. No. Let's build one temple for the only hero there is, Jesus Christ. And let's let Elijah and Moses be like everyone else who falls at His feet and worships and glories in Him. The one who has come, the one who has triumphed over all, will return exalted by the Father, having been given the spoil of His victorious work of obedience, and He will share His spoil with those weak sinners that He has made strong by becoming one of them, by taking their sins, and by interceding for them. And Isaiah spit that out 700 years before it was true. And I'm thinking, whew! What a chapter! Amen? What a chapter. But better than that, what a Savior.